is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to another exciting edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. My name is Leonard Sands.
And my name is Debbie Deal.
And we are so happy that you can join us wherever you are, whether you're driving in your car, like my uncles who always listen to the show, or you're sitting home preparing your evening meal for your family, or like my doctor who's in his office finishing up with his bit of paperwork before he goes home. Everyone's listening to Nailed It. We're going to start the show like I started the show for us last week with something interesting from one of our past greatest leaders, I would say, of this country who never made it into political light, and that's probably why he was so good, Dr. Miles Monroe. So permit me a few moments, and let's listen to this part of this message for today.
A series of changes. Your son used to come to you for advice. He getting advice now from his friends. People don't want to change. And they don't want you to change. And they don't want things to change. And so the moment you meet a person who wants to change things, enemies are automatically created. If you want to make enemies, try to change something in your life. You will find yourself having to retool your life. You will have to go back to school, some of you, to learn things you never knew because things changed on you. Those who look only to the past or the present are certain to miss the future. I want to read a statement from Dwight Eisenhower, who was the president of the United States, a powerful military general. I love this statement. He said, "Neither a wise man nor a brave man lies down on the tracks of history to wait for the train of the future to run over him." In other words, if you don't wake up, brother, and realize that what you got, you ain't gonna have tomorrow, and what you claim may not be yours next month, and if you don't get out of the road saying, "I ain't never gonna change," the future will run you over.
I thought that was very, very powerful, considering what we've been talking about for many, many years, which is the licensing for contractors.
Right.
It's that's how I look at it. It's that change. It's something that we've never done before. And like Dr. Miles Monroe said, we're comfortable doing the same things we have always done.
Absolutely.
And once we don't change it, we're happy with it. Mm-hmm. But that's, like he said also, that's not the way to move forward.
Right.
Things have to change. Debbie, you were once a little girl. Mm-hmm. Now you're a lot taller. I was once a young man. I had hair. Mm-hmm. Things change.
You know, one thing I learned, you get to the point in one part of your life where you do kind of get stuck in that mentality, right?
Yeah.
And then you realize that during your life and as you get older, everything in life, your life is going to change.
Everything.
You know, your kids are going to grow up. They're going to move out of the house. You may have a different job. You may end up moving to another country. Everything could change. And if you don't accept the change, your life will be miserable because it's hard to change, and it's also hard not to change.
And that's the key. Not to change when you have to change.
Yes, because you know when the doctor tells you have to change your diet now because you have diabetes or heart problems or whatever. I mean, you've got to change.
You've got to change,
and it's
uncomfortable.
It is.
So,
but you grow when you change.
You grow when you change, and I want to give up the numbers quickly because we want to have a lot of conversations here. Today you're going to be engaged in this conversation. The numbers you could call to join in with this conversation is 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and from the Family Islands, 300-5720. And if you're using your text, BTC-powered text line, 422-4796. In the public service, and this is not what our topic is going to be with, but most of it is resistant to change because a lot of it has remained the same way for a long time. I remember when the conversation, and this going back even early in my youth, where we were talking about using computers in the public service. Now, could you imagine, Debbie, not using the computer right now and everyone's writing up things like what we did with the inspection stickers? Remember when we used to go to road traffic and they had to manually write up those inspection stickers? Look at what we have now. We have the printed digital inspection stickers.
Do you remember when they didn't have the thing for your driver's license?
Yeah.
So they actually wrote you a letter, and when you go to the States to rent a car, people would laugh at you.
And say, what is this?
What is this?
What is this? And so change is often good.
Mm-hmm.
Change is mostly good.
Mm-hmm.
It is uncomfortable, but it's good. And
if your life isn't uncomfortable, you won't grow.
No.
You know, it's like the hard things, right? A lot of people don't like to do the hard jobs, right? The messy ones, the ones that, you know, that drive you crazy. No one wants to do those.
No.
But those are the ones that make you grow.
Yeah. So on that final closing point, the Minister of Public Works and the Prime Minister, I want you to understand that I know it's scary because this is a big change.
Mm-hmm.
And this change is something that will impact the trajectory of this country. We feel so in a positive way. And it is not without careful consideration of all the benefits that it will have why we urge and encourage the change. But you need to appreciate that it is necessary for the growth and development of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas that this change occurs.
Just as it was necessary for architects, for engineers, for real estate agents, all of those came about.
Insurance professionals.
But those three there came about because things bad were happening.
Yes.
Persons who were not architects were doing drawings for houses that never worked properly. You know, you've got all of those different things. Real estate agents, we talked about this after Dwight's show the other day. There was a real estate agent that used to just sell the same property to
over 10
people.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's tough, but it's for a positive reason, and it benefits
everybody,
not just the person who's making the change, but everybody who it'll affect along the way.
So today we're talking about contractor certification course.
Yes, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. And what I want to kind of get into the nuts and bolts of why contractor education is important. And I think we are too cavalier about education for contractors and why the BCA is very focused on educating contractors. So we take a different approach. While everyone may be cavalier, we're not cavalier about it. We recognize that there's a lot of education that should happen, and we're about advancing those opportunities, right? If I ask someone to call in And tell me, 1, 2. Yeah. Tell me the number of stages that a building must go through in order to have all its inspections and get its final approval. The number. Call in and tell me the number.
Can I call in?
No, you can't call in.
You're no fun.
Call in and tell me the number.
Mm-hmm. It's a minimum.
Yeah. Tell me you think, it's a minimum. Tell me what you think is 10. Tell me if you think it's 4. Tell me if you think it's 20. What do you think the number of inspections that the Ministry of Public Works do? And then after you call in and tell me the number, if you're right, what are those inspections? We have an education class today. Mm-hmm. What are those inspections? So as a building contractor, you would expect your contractor to know what inspections they must file and have approved to get your occupancy certificate.
Well, you would think that they would know, because if the person who is hiring them has gotten a loan from the bank, they would be paid in probably those same stages.
Somewhat.
But yeah.
Which is interesting, because I have the bank, a number of the bank forms. They are not according to this order, but they are representative of some of this. Mm. So I'm going to help, and of course when I'm on air, someone's going to be calling. So I'm going to help persons out by reading, this is called the extract from Bahamas Building Code, section 312, mandatory inspections. You see the word it used? Mandatory inspections.
Maybe that person wants to answer the question.
Well, I didn't give them my number, so they shouldn't be calling up. So the building's control officer, upon 48 hours notice of receipt exclusive of Sundays and Saturdays, are declared public holidays from the builder, shall make the following inspections and shall either approve the portions of works completed or shall notify the builder in writing where such work does not meet the approval. 3.2.1, foundation inspection. 3.2.2, they call it filling inspections.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. That's for when you're doing driving piles.
Oh.
So I would have called it piling inspection. They call it filling inspections.
Oh.
3.1.2.3. Now, here's a funny story about this. When you get a caller, call your library. Hi.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
I'm good. Is this the other Debbie?
Yes, ma'am.
Got the voice right.
From my church.
Okay. Now, I don't know, so I'm taking a stab at it. I did hear you all on Dwight's show.
Uh-huh.
And I miss it, but the information was so good. I used to be a loan officer, so
yes.
I'm just saying 5 stages. That's my...
5 stages.
Yeah.
You're less than 50% correct.
Oh, it sounded like 10.
I didn't know.
You're less than 50% correct. It's more than 10.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Well, I tried.
Yes, and thank you. Thank you for trying. It was a good shot, but this is what we mentioned. The banks have it in stages, but not according to the inspections mandatory from the Ministry of Public Works, which is interesting. Wow. That those two are not aligned. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, because
no wonder people, all kind of crazy things.
It's interesting. They're not aligned.
Debbie, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, it's not aligned. So we're learning something today. Yes, absolutely. So you just keep listening. You can hear a lot of stuff you probably didn't know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you so much.
So we're on 312.3. Column inspections. Now, we all know that. So we got the filing, which is for piles. We did foundation, and now we had columns. Now, here's the tricky thing. When I fill out the form, as I often do, because I like numbers, and I expect the Ministry of Public Works to use the numbers on the form, when I put the numbers on it, they call me back and ask me, what inspection are you applying for? Well, here's the thing. 3.1.2.1 is foundation. What inspection do you think I am applying for? They called me this week. I put in there 3.1.2.7, which is structural framework inspection. They called me, Mr. Science. You did not note what your inspection you're applying for. I said, I'm pretty sure I put the number 3.1.2.7.
Read the back of your inspection form.
It literally has 3.1.2.7 structural framework inspection. So they don't look at the number.
No.
They only look at the...
They look at the words.
The words. We got to get better than that. Anyhow, so let's go down the list. So we are in inspection number 4. Now, I need to note, inspection number 2 does not apply to every house.
Right.
If you're not doing
piles,
a piling...
Correct.
That's not applicable. Mm-hmm. So... discount that. 3.1.2.4, structural column. Every home is going to have a structural mm-hmm. column. 3.1.2.5.
Well.
Unless it's a one home, wooden home.
No.
Or they're doing this new monolithic system, which I do like. Again, mm-hmm. it's because the whole house is poured concrete and rebar. So
right.
the whole thing is steel and concrete.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do it correctly.
Yes.
Yes, if you do, you have to do it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have 3.1.2.5, tie beam inspection. And mm-hmm. if you understand what a tie beam is, they're talking about shall be made when the block walls are completed to a tie beam level, the columns formed and poured, reinforcing steel in place, but before the beam concrete is poured. So they're talking about your belt beam.
Right.
Your tie beam. It ties.
Everybody calls that a belt course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what they would understand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And of course, if you have multiple story building, you have tie beam 1, tie beam 2, yeah. or tie beam 3.
Right.
Different levels have mm-hmm. the same tie beam.
Yeah.
Okay. And they did make a note. Note, for buildings of more than one floor, and a bearing wall construction, inspection 3.1.2.3 and 3.1.2.5 shall be made at each floor. So you can have a slab, you can have a column and a beam. Column and a beam. If you look at an 8-story building, it's the same thing repeat over and over and over.
Yeah.
Now, 3.1.2.6, structural beam and slab inspections. Now, let's look at something. What is between a structural beam and a tie beam?
I think it would be made out of metal.
Well, let's see.
I don't know.
Shall be made when the beam and slabs have been formed up, reinforcing steel in place, but before the concrete is poured. So it's different from the tie beam because it does not tie into block walls. This is where it only goes from beam to column, not from beam sitting on top of blocks. So if you look at the building that's on Cable Beach, opposite, almost near Starbucks,
yeah.
you see the structural columns, beam. That's what's called a structural beam and slab connection. Doesn't have no block walls and fill there yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they did fill in one side.
Yes.
Yes.
But that was after the beam was already in place.
Right.
So that's not a structural load-bearing block wall.
Correct.
So the beam there is a structural load-bearing.
Mm.
And then we get to 3.1.2.7. Structural framework inspection. Now, if the structure is of steel or similar materials forming a frame, inspection shall take place on the complete frame of the single floor building. For larger buildings, it shall be by floors before the framework is encased. This inspection or inspections shall include any lightweight floor beam system. What they're referring to is bar joists with the corrugated sheeting on top of it and the mesh wire.
Yeah.
That is lightweight structural flooring system with support, which is the beams. So they want to inspect the framework, which is the bar joists, before you pour the concrete. They need to see the sizing. Like, what if you get a bar joist that's only this deep and it spans 50 feet? That's not going to fly.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to inspect it to make sure you've sized the correct bar joists for the slab. Now you go down to 3.1.2.8, roof inspections. Roof inspections shall be made when the roof frame is in place, the upper surfaces covered with roof material, that means plywood, sheeting material, felt, whatever, and shingles, but before the ceiling is in place. You know why? Because if you put the ceiling in, Debbie, I can't do the roof inspection.
Right.
I can't see the roof.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to put in for the inspection after you completed the roof, but before you start your ceiling.
Make sure you can see the hurricane clips. Make sure your bracing is done properly.
Because you can't see anything once the ceiling's in
place.
Correct. You cover it up. So it is important to know when to apply for an inspection. So this is why you should have this form. Because you need to know, okay, I've finished the roof. Let's start the ceiling. Nope. I got to let it get inspected first. Mm-hmm. Then I could close it up.
Yeah.
Or else you're going to have to take it down.
The best you could do is put your 1x4s on if you wanted to.
Yeah, but they got to be able to see. So
you
know that.
Mm-hmm.
But the person who may not know it can close it up.
Mm-hmm.
This is why this is a part of contractor education. You need to know what you should do to build the house and get the inspection.
And anybody can go to building control and get one of these forms.
Yeah.
It's a triplicate form that when you're filling out.
Absolutely.
So that everybody gets one.
But this is stuff that's going to be covered in the contractor certification course. That's why I mentioned this today about this education.
Mm.
When you attend this course, you're going to understand the processes of what to do to construct a home properly and legally. That's why contractors should take this course.
Because
if you don't take the course, how would you know? I often say, the only way we know 1 + 1 = 2 is because we was taught it. Over and over, but we was taught it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, we'd be a kid, and we don't know 1 + 1 = 2 until someone tells us, you know, if you take one and you add another one, you got a multiplication of it. You got 2 now.
Mm-hmm.
But one time, 1 is still 1. But 1 + 1 = 2. So you can get the concept of some things as well, which may look similar, but it's different.
So when you're a kid, they will give you 2 oranges.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Not 1 orange times the same orange,
right.
How much orange it is.
Yes.
It's gotta be still 1 orange.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're now to 3.12.9, plumbing inspections. You know, it is interesting that your Debbie, who called, said the bank has 5 stages or whatever, mm-hmm. and it's typical. They usually have 5 to 6. There's no MEP inspection on the bank's form, you know.
None. But the plumber knows that he has all the different inspections that he has.
It's interesting. There's none.
None.
But plumbing inspection, because your venting and your sanitary waste is important to your home. They got to inspect that.
And the run of your...
Yep. Mm-hmm. So roughing in walls and fixtures in place. Inspections.
And fixtures in place. So that must be a final one because there's other inspections that have to go on.
That's the final inspection when you get to do your occupancy. They check for fixtures.
But I didn't hear up here where they had it where the drain pipes were being inspected on, you know, for the run and all that. I didn't see that anywhere.
Well, they wouldn't say the run. They just could say the following plumbing inspection shall be made on all buildings at each floor level if the building has more than one floor. Rough in, well, that's where the drains are.
Mm-hmm.
In wall, baths in place and hydrostatic tests and fixtures in place. And then 3.12.10, special inspections shall be made of all mechanical installations immediately on completion of the work or at each intervals during the process of the work at the building control officer or this code may deem necessary. So if you're in a commercial building, you may have to have your mechanical system inspected. Now, in your house, you're going to have ductless or a small central air. You're not going to have that inspection.
Sometimes people don't even have them at that point in time.
So, exactly, because you could always add them later.
Yes.
So, that's not a necessary inspection.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, in commercial buildings where you will have closed-up windows, because they don't open like house windows,
right.
You will have to test your mechanical system.
Yeah, because it's mechanical ventilation as opposed to windows as ventilation. Yes, that's
exactly.
The difference. Yeah.
Then you got 3.12.11, which is 11. Other inspections. So, you have special. Then you have other. Shall be made if the building control officer deems them necessary. That's it. Their discretion.
Doesn't even say what the inspection is.
No. Oh. You make it up on the fly.
Oh, okay. Okay.
3.12.12 or 1.2, electrical inspection. See, this form mentions plumbing and electrical.
Because you know why?
It would be interesting.
Guess why? Those are both licensed.
Those are licensed.
Thank you very much.
Those are licensed. So you have to have a licensed plumber.
Just like us contractors and are not licensed, but we must hire a licensed
plumber and a licensed electrician.
Yep.
And then, so let me read that. 312.12, electrical inspections to be made at the stages prescribed by the minister charged with the responsibility for electricity. Now, that is interesting.
That'd be the Ministry of Works.
No, it didn't say ministry.
But who's in charge of electricity?
The minister.
The minister, okay.
It didn't say
so
the ministry.
So that would be Clay Sweeting then.
Yeah, the minister.
Oh, he has to come and do the inspection.
It says electrical inspections to be made at the stages prescribed by the minister. Charged with responsibility for electricity. Do you know why? Because the way when they drafted this, and I had to get a little education on this, is that what was first, before the Building Regulations Act, was the BEC Act. The BEC Act preceded this.
Correct.
So before there was Ministry of Public Works, there was BEC. And so the minister responsible for electricity did inspections on your home.
Wow.
Because it predates building control. Predates the Ministry of Public Works.
So when did building control come into play?
The act was late 1970s. But the Electricity Act was before.
It was 56 or something.
Yes, before 70s. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in fact, what's so interesting, and people don't know this, but when we...
Because it got changed to the Electricity Act, and then it changed again. Yeah.
Now, here's part of the contention why a lot of persons don't understand why the president of the Bahamas Electrical Association has an involvement in the Construction Contractors Act. It's because Construction Contractors Act, in the language, repealed the BEC Act. And that takes it under that now the Contractors Act. And they had an issue with that because it repealed that act and say that's no longer the Superior Act. The Contractors Act is the Superior Act.
And that was a change. We don't like change.
But it was necessary because an electrician is a...
Right.
A plumber is a contractor. And it is called the Contractors Act.
Because having a minister who might have been a lawyer or an accountant might not know... the building.
Well, that's part of it too. But more importantly, the act recognizes that every type of contractor comes under the Construction Contractors Act. The BEC Act only talked about electricians, not plumbers, not carpenters, not general contractors, not anything, not road contractors. The Construction Contractors Act talks about all. That's why it had to repeal that and replace it with the Construction Contractors Act. That's the legal challenge there, which it was completed by. And I remember they debated in court. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I forget what the gentleman's name, he was at the meeting when we went to the Ministry of Public Works. He was sitting to our left. Who was the president of the...
James Bain.
Mm-hmm. And he said, you guys don't understand how important this is. Because he said, all of the electricians in the country that I speak for, they're now automatically a part of the contractors in the country.
Yeah.
Because of the act. Automatically. They don't even have to apply because they're already licensed. They don't have to apply. They're already licensed. Mm-hmm. They're automatically grandfathered in because they're already licensed. Guess what? All the plumbers don't have to apply. They're already licensed. Mm-hmm. The minute the board is appointed, two groups get in first. Licensed plumbers, licensed electricians. Because they already hold the license.
Correct.
There's no need for them to
just need to be registered.
They just need to be registered.
With the board.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Because they already satisfied the evidence of their skill and capacity. They already hold the license.
Yeah, wow.
The only person who will still have to evidence their skill and capacity is the contractors. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And now the final thing, this is an IE. They say under responsibility for electricity, conduit roughing, conductors installed and joints made, and then final electrical inspection. And that's it. That's your sheet. Now, it doesn't go in to talk about, you know, your toilet system and talk to us, so your septic tank and making sure that you have a garbage facility for volatiles, for environmental health, because all those are things that you have to have in place.
Correct,
to get your occupancy certificate. Mm-hmm. And I need the public to know the process of getting your occupancy certificate can only be applied for after all of this is satisfied, and then also your home is ready to be occupied. And what does that mean? You have to have running water.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have sinks that and toilets that could flush.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure that all your doors are on, because you can't occupy a home with no doors. You got to make sure that you have a place to put garbage. Those are part of your occupancy, because the minute you want to know, when I say you can occupy this home.
And your electrical system
And your electrical system have to be hooked up in your power. Because when you say you can occupy this home,
mm-hmm.
that's the last time someone from the ministry is going to come to your house mm-hmm. and do an inspection.
Yeah.
You have to make sure this. Now, where I had some challenges, and we talked about this before, I went in several buildings that had occupancy certificates
mm-hmm.
and loose wires were dangling mm-hmm. all over the place mm-hmm. and they had no running water. And I tried to understand, how did they possess an occupancy certificate?
Hmm. I wonder.
You could get electrocuted. There was no running water. The plumbing wasn't working. So clearly there was some gaps in the system that we look at. But that was a long segue into why education for contractors is important. That first 30 minutes just talked about all the stuff they should know.
But, you know, you mentioned when we were on Dwight's show about BICA, right?
BICA.
Okay. So there's courses and things you actually have to do and before you can get your license for the next year. I mean, these are things Shelley's doing them all the time. So it's not like this thing is, you know, we're the odd man out doing these things. Almost every trade that you do, even doctors, they're always going away for training. Always.
Everyone should consistently.
Pilots are constantly going in for training. Constantly.
And everyone who is responsible, because Dwight wanted to see this. I say, yeah, it says that. Everyone who is considering themselves a professional mm-hmm. should have ongoing training and certifications.
And oftentimes it's mandatory.
And it is everywhere in the world, it's mandatory, except mm-hmm. for in the Bahamas.
Yes.
Where it's voluntary.
Yes.
But there's our elevator music. And
already?
Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back after we take our first.
CBSBahamas.com is faster, smarter, and we've made it even easier to browse our inventory of over 11,000 products. Earn reward points with every online purchase. Check out our new AI-powered chat assistant, available 24/7. You can even select a date and time for items to be delivered to your house, job site, or the mailboat. Our Family Island customers are loving it. Build beautiful throughout the Bahamas with the new CBSBahamas.com.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
The light goes out, the AC stops, the fridge is silent, and your family is left in the dark again.
You don't have to live like this. With a Cat generator from Machinery and Energy Limited, your home stays powered, no matter the storm. Protect your peace, protect your home. Always on, always ready. Visit me-ltd.com or call today, Machinery and Energy Limited, 1 College Avenue, Oaksfield at 323-5701. Be ready before the next storm hits.
All right, now the last people are supposed to answer this, either their brain was frizz or a couple of screws was loose.
Not me, bro. I sharp. I get this.
Yeah, you sharp as a button, man.
All right, I can see just how sharp y'all is, because you skip a button on your shirt. Well, anyhow. All right, question is, it doesn't rust.
Uh-huh.
No corrosion. It's lighter and stronger than its opponent. What is it?
I know this. I know, but it's steel?
Nope. Wrong answer. Fiberglass rebar. Y'all ain't sharp.
Hey, go on and say that, no.
You don't even know what that means.
All right, here's what makes fiber rebar a no-brainer compared to steel. It don't rust. Steel rebar does rust and crack up your wall like biscuit. Two, fiber rebar is lighter than steel. Steel rebar is way more heavier, so that means it costs you more money and labor. And three, coated steel is more expensive than fiber rebar. And with cheap steel, you still have to paint it. Still costs you money. For more information, call Odd Heavy Equipment and Development today at 603-4506 or 822-9522. Fiber rebar is better than steel.
Customer service can be a little struggly sometimes in our beautiful Bahama land. But let Dee Dee and Shelly tell you about how Sherwin Williams does customer service.
It's not only better in the Bahamas for the tourists, you know. See the way I would treat the tourists that come here, the same way I treat my Bahamian customers. And I service them with a bright smile. I just love working for Sherwin Williams. If I can make any customer happy in any wish way, I'll do it every day. Customers is the love of my life, okay?
Sherwin-Williams Paints. Find color in every day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
So we are back, and this is the time where we thank our sponsors for making this show possible. Again, the Bahamian Contractors Association is the entity that actually has this show. Leonard and I are just the spokespersons for that, and we thank you very much for being able to make this happen. We're almost at 2 years now.
Yeah.
Very excited to still be here and still have people excited to actually want to participate in the show and advertise themselves. So again, we have ART Development, which is the people that have the fiberglass rebar, CBS Bahamas, Sherwin-Williams Paint, M&E Limited, which is just around the corner from here, and Bahamas Safety Solutions. So thank you again so much for keeping this show going for
us. Have to note that Bahamas Safety Solutions was our training partner that conducted the fall protection safety course.
True. Yes, that was what, 3 weeks ago or something?
3 weeks ago, last month. So I got to read a text message. So remember, you guys could text us on 422-4796. The text reads, I have seen houses under construction. The contractor has stuffed the brown paper or cement bag paper in the bell course. They smooth it over with browning. Then years later, the house wall leaks at these points. What is the recourse for the homeowner years later? Debbie, you want to take that one?
There's no recourse. whatsoever, because the Contractors Construction Act is passed, but there's no board.
No board
to license and register contractors.
And then regulate the construction industry.
And then you would have recourse, because all of that is in the actual act. So we really, really, really need you. When you ask a question like that from us, the person who sent the text in, thank you for the text, call your call your member of parliament. Mm-hmm. Tell them you want to make sure that this that the board is chosen so this kind of foolishness never happens again. Mm-hmm. But if you don't do that and support this, then there's no sense in asking these questions, because you have to understand Leonard and I can't do it all. Everybody out there, who, whether you're a customer or a contractor or a realtor, you've got to help support this, because it affects everything everyone. You do and everything. Yes.
So going back to this contractor contractor education, which is intense, right? Something that people don't think about. Debbie speaks about 42 years you've been in this construction space.
44 now.
44 years.
Yeah.
And there can be any varying degrees of experience out there. Mm-hmm. But how do you know what the individual knows? How do you know?
You don't do
That's
it.
That's a big
you don't
question.
Know
when, how do you know what the individual knows?
You don't know until they build the house.
You don't know until they build. That's a huge gamble, Debbie.
That's a huge.
Would you like someone to say, you know what? Trust me, I'm a doctor. And you're their first patient, and
trust me, I'm the
surgery.
Pilot, and I'm going
exactly.
to fly you to New York City.
And you're the first time they bought. You know what? I'm not trusting you like that.
No.
Now maybe for medicine, because we know you had to get a qualifying standard, right? Mm-hmm. Fine. But for construction, trust me, I know what I'm doing. That's a lot. It's a stretch. Mm-hmm. And we do it every day. I often say that the Bahamas is the one place where, on face value, we trust people with hundreds of thousands. On face value, that's wild. That's wild. I sit down and I listen to people complain, right? And as I'm listening to the complaint, the first question I ask, where did you meet this person?
Yeah.
What? The guy
sitting beside somebody in a bar,
you know,
or in the grocery store.
You know,
JBR.
My friend said he could build. What does that mean? My friend said he could build. So, you know, we sat down. I gave my plans. He gave me the price was good. Then all of a sudden, I noticed something a little funny, because the first time we gave him the first payment, he came right away and he did it quick. Boom. And then he said, you know, since I've been going so fast, why don't you give me an advance? Give me the next payment. Then you say, well, I don't want to slow down now. All of a sudden, your four payments are still in the foundation. And I'm like, where did you find this guy? Because I haven't met people like that. Because I know you got to go somewhere special to meet them. Debbie, have you met these? I haven't met these people.
I don't know. I have known, though, sitting at a bar, chit-chatting with somebody. And they go, oh, I'm a contractor, too. Oh, cool. What have you done? And then all of a sudden they'll show you pictures, and of course this could be anybody could have built these houses, right? Oh,
but
gracious!
I think part of what
the client in that instance
the client.
would get totally. I can't say the word. Yes, the client would be the one that would be in trouble, because they would not be able to finish their house. They would have to try to borrow more money or walk away from their mortgage, right? So that's the thing. And again, if you read the Contractors Construction Act, all of those things are in that.
Yeah, there's consideration for what happens in a situation where someone did not do or was not.
And there's penalties for both the client
and the contractor.
And
those still have to be fleshed out more, because regulations for the Act have not been drafted yet. So, but that's the job of the board once appointed. And that's why the board is important, because you don't have someone to draft regulations. So there's no regulation. And this is like what we was talking about, the Health and Safety at Work Act. The act is there, but you need skin on the bones. It doesn't have it doesn't define what is an unsafe thing by regulation. It may say, if you're coming through a door and the door is not wide enough for you to run through, that's unsafe. But the regulations don't exist, so it doesn't define what is unsafe for a door.
Well, also, it's not just contractors. That's Health and Safety Act is for any place of work. You could be a doctor, a lawyer. You could be working in a high-rise building. You
insurance
could be,
company, a barbershop, doesn't matter.
You could be the person, the valet.
Yeah.
You know.
And then the education that you just make assumption that a contractor should have. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to always have a college degree. I have one. Debbie does not have one, but she got way more experience than I have. I'm a year close to 20 now. So you got double mine plus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I keep telling people, this the route we're taking doesn't teach people how to build. Even when I was preparing to take the Florida contractors exam, right? It wasn't teaching you how to build. It was teaching you
how to manage.
How to manage your construction business,
mm-hmm.
and what laws not to break as a contractor. Because that's a state which is a retirement state. And you will go to jail
mm-hmm.
for messing with retirees and or taking advantage of people in Florida. Mm-hmm. You will go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
They don't play about that. So it was teaching you what not to do to make sure you don't go to jail, to prison, and also how to manage your construction business. That's mm-hmm. what, and the volume was the size of almost a phone book. That's the information you had to prepare for to take the Florida license exam. And as Robin also said when she did her engineering exam, the exam was over 3 days. You didn't even take it in one day.
Wow.
So it's intense, but it's important. It was important that people understand why it's important that you know these things when offering the services to the public. We got our next call. Call you live. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Sand. Good afternoon, Steele.
Good afternoon.
I hope you're doing well.
Well, man, we're doing great.
I just want to know, right, has the minister given you a rationale as to why the bill or the registrar has been appointed,
mm-hmm.
and she's still being paid.
She's
right?
being paid. Mm-hmm.
So there were 141, I think.
Board appointment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Boards, statutory boards appointed. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
So you haven't, I know you said you try to engage
him. Mm-hmm.
Well, we haven't had a meeting with the new minister.
Through the media, he was asked about it. This was last year when we was really pressing the issue. And he was cornered and he was asked about it. And to quote him exactly, because I do really, really pay attention to when they're speaking anything about the Construction Contractors Act, he said that the act needs to go back to get redrafted. There's some changes they'd like to make and X, Y, Z. And that is only partly correct. Let me tell you why. The Road Traffic Act, which is not perfect, just got amended during the last administration, uh-huh. wasn't it? Mm-hmm. The Road Traffic Act
right.
is getting amended again. The Electricity Act got amended.
It was presented on a Monday. It was fixed on a Tuesday. It went back Wednesday and Thursday. It was passed.
Right. The Building Regulations Act is mm-hmm. currently being considered for review and amendment. Here's the thing that a former prime minister has told me, and he knows it because he's sat in the chair. You appoint the board. The act is law. Appoint the board
mm-hmm.
and just make amendment to the
yeah.
act.
Mm-hmm.
It's right. simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple as that. So that's not stopping the minister.
It's just like the building,
from appointing the board.
The building code. If you get a copy of the building code, there's always additions onto it. Right?
Yes.
Changes.
Right.
Because I remember when I started building, the plate on the roof was a 2x4. And then it went to a 2x6, and then it went
amendments.
To a 3x6.
Yeah.
So those just came in, you know, just the
later
documents.
On, yeah.
yeah.
So outside of that caller, the minister has not said anything other than we have to take a look at it again. There's some things in it. They don't. But what I want to say is in the time when they're thinking about it, which has been 10 years now, the
right.
public
years,
is suffering.
You know, 10 years.
10 years.
Five, you have been in office now going on 6 years.
Yeah.
How long does it take for you to look at whatever you say you need to look at?
Obviously,
this is not
its intent.
A priority
caller.
For them, like the freedom of information
exactly.
and all the other things. This isn't a priority.
No, it's not a priority.
And because you know why? Anybody could get a license. We've heard the stories of these people who get all these government contracts.
Yes.
Right? And they, you know, these government contracts, they started at one thing, and
balloon.
By the time they finish, you know, it's double and triple.
Triple, and the public pays for it.
Taxpayers end up paying for this, and we never know the details of how or whatever the project costs and whatnot.
No.
That's the real reason.
And even when we do call her, the $141 million in beaches and park, there's no real explanation. Because again,
no real explanation. $500 million and no bid contract.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
So,
one person getting multiple contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Come on, man. And you don't even know if this person is licensed or not.
No, well, they are not.
Somebody got a contract for $6 million and he neutral the other day.
Yeah.
You know?
And we could only hope that they have the capacity and skill to perform the work that they have been contracted to perform.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is not your money. You are a manager, a steward
of
the resources. People's
of public money.
Treasury.
Yes, absolutely. It is our money.
It's the public treasury money.
It's called the public treasury for a reason.
They believe that this is their money and they can spend it however they want to and so on and so forth. Because, you know why, Mr. Sands? Because we don't test them in court, you know.
No, we don't.
And that is, see, they know us. They know we're going to beat up our gums and we're going to run on. Then we're going to move on to the next thing.
Yes.
You know, like, things like this, when the president decided to do or not to do something, the people take him to court and let the court decide. The court is supposed to keep balance, not only in civil society, but to keep the government in balance as well.
I cannot agree with you more, caller. Absolutely agree.
We need to class action suit or whatever it is, you all get together and you force the minister's hand. You see, when they see people, like in other countries, because we are so passive, you know, people, they go, they break up the place, they get mad and whatnot, and then they start to listen.
We need people like you to actually go to your member of parliament and
Lucille,
yes.
If I go to my member of parliament, he ain't gonna do nothing.
He ain't gonna do
nothing.
I can tell
you this right now. He ain't gonna do nothing because he's the minister of finance.
Oh, he's not going to do anything and he's not going to do this. But if you have something on record that you've written something that's been signed, he's assigned that he's accepted this document from you. We have to do something. We can't all just be passive and say, well, they're not going to do anything, so I'm not going to be bothered to go see him or give him a letter.
You know, when they rise on the behalf
of the Bahamian people or the good members of the constituency.
How you could rise on my behalf? You didn't even know. You didn't even ask me what I think about
this. Yeah.
But you. I know the people give them proxy or whoever to speak for us. But today, you know, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have no kind of meetings or whatever.
No.
With the
public.
The people and to get the people's input and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, all they do is they get there. $40,000 every 3 months, and they happy. You know what I mean?
And take care of themselves.
We have to make people accountable, man.
Totally agree, caller. Mm-hmm. Caller, I got to go to the next caller, but thank you very much for calling, sir. Thank you. I want to read this text message quickly before I pick up this call, and a caller, I see you. So the only option, this text says, is get the board active through the MP, Is there an option of an online petition? Yes, the BCA has an online petition that's been running for about six, seven months now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on our website.
Be signed by the members of the public. So you go to our website, www.bahamiancontractors.org, and sign the petition.
Mm-hmm.
And we will take all those signature signed petition and we'll send it to the Prime Minister and send it to the Minister of Public Work and say, hey, it's more than Debbie and I and 10 people who thinks that this is important.
Mm-hmm.
There's hundreds of people now, thousands of people. Do something about it.
Right.
And then they would pay attention. Thank you very much, Texas. Yeah. Call you live. Go ahead.
Good evening, Lady Debbie Deb. And
how are you, sir?
Good
how are
evening.
You?
How y'all doing?
We're great, man. We're great.
A couple of things. In reference to the previous caller, where he said we must hold them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And we seem to be a powerful set of people, someone said on another show, and we don't enforce the laws against them. Remember that with the Prime Minister from Turks and Caicos and
yes.
his brother,
mm-hmm.
And where they are today.
Mm-hmm.
They want responsible. I think they in jail now, right?
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Different country, though.
So right now, and we have looming almost $500 million unaccounted for with a National
the
Investment Fund
iceberg.
That was transferred, so they say, $700 million with that issue. Now, the other thing where you said earlier that someone had a house constructed and it started to leak because someone smoothed over the blocks.
With cardboard or paper or something inside the block hole or something to that effect, yeah, that's what Texas
someone
wrote.
Texan wanted to know the recourse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had a friend who, during Hurricane Matthews in the gated community out west,
mm-hmm.
at their house, the lower floor was made of, was constructed out of blocks,
mm-hmm.
and the upper floor was with wood and hardy plank.
Mm-hmm.
And during the hurricane, it started to leak.
Mm-hmm.
You see, inside, and they didn't know why, because I think a family member from the other island had constructed it for them.
Mm.
And I took them to the structure next door that was really unfinished. It's a female,
mm-hmm.
you see? And I showed her on the inside. I said, you see that plate on the inside of top down the belt?
Mm-hmm.
I said, now, what happened? The person that constructed this for you, they did not put any ceiling on the outside
mm-hmm.
before they put those hardy plank in. That's why the wind and the rain beat it in, and because of the force of it, so an arc can cause the water to come over and leak inside the house. I said, now, what they should have done, and what maybe can be done, is to try and seal behind the plate on top,
mm-hmm.
the wooden plank on top. You see, so if anything ever be in, it will not seal into the
building
and come down on
mm-hmm.
the ceiling.
Or you have to take off the hardy board and do it properly.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what I said. You pull it back and seal it properly and then reinstall the hardy board and all that stuff
yeah.
and paint and all that. Yeah, and that's costly,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but you didn't do it right the first time.
Yeah.
If they had like the ice and water seal or the seal on the outside before they put on the hardy plank,
mm-hmm.
it would not have happened.
Yeah.
Ceiling.
I would still put ice and water shield and flashing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the texter that asked about that leakage, and maybe that's what's happening with them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they have to go inside the ceiling and
see what's going on. No, I think you're right.
Yeah. So y'all have a nice evening.
All right. Thank you
thank
very
you.
Much for
Thanks
your call.
For calling.
Appreciate it. Yeah. So public. There is something to do. You know, you listen to the show. I know that you hear us talking about you guys get involved. There is an online petition on the BCA's website. You
mm-hmm.
can just sign the petition, add your name
mm-hmm.
to the number of persons who are calling for the. And it's a simple petition.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Bahamian Contractors Association is calling for the appointment of the Construction Contractors Board. Do you want to sign this petition? That's it. Sign the petition.
Yeah.
Done.
That's it.
Takes you 2 seconds.
And get your friends and other persons
yeah,
that
sign
are
petition.
That are complaining about the industry, get them to sign it. I mean, we can't, like, we. They're not going
to
listen to just Leonard and I.
Just us two.
But no. we need masses.
I guarantee 5,000 people on that petition, they're listening. So hold on, that's 5,000 voters.
Then
well,
we
what's
could,
the issue?
Then we could go
yeah.
to the streets.
Yeah. We get them to pay attention.
But we really need help.
Sign the petition. And finally, in the last couple of minutes left, I want to make a pitch to the persons who are listening who are contractors. Firstly, the contractor certification course is about 99.9% filled. At this point in time, I'm speaking, it probably is filled. But you need to get in the course whenever it's offered.
Mm-hmm.
We don't offer it often because it is a professional certification course, and persons who we find that are desirous of being certified, they make the effort and register.
Yeah, it's a 3-day event as
yeah,
well.
It's a 3-day event, so you have to consider
taking
time
off
the course.
Work.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And you have to do it if it's important to you. The class is, like I say, it was last class is oversubscribed and filled. This class, the same way, is going on.
And I'm taking it, by the
Debbie
way.
Debbie is taking it this time. And I want person to understand that this is what separates contractors from persons who think they want to do construction. It's about how much you want to invest into the craft, into the work that you're doing. Debbie, you've been in this for 40-something years. You're invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into your business, into your tools and equipment, and into the space of being a contractor. If you're new at this, you have to make the investments in your education and in your experience. I tell a young person this. He said, how do I become a good contractor? I said, be nosy.
Yes.
Go and look at everything under construction. Observe. Take a little notepad with you. Oh, okay, they're doing that like that. And take a note. You'll be surprised what you learn by observation. But be inquisitive. You're 22 years old. You got nothing better to do. As you drive around, there's a lot of construction going around the town, Debbie. Take a note.
See, back in the day when I started, it was books. So there was a bookstore on Wolf Road just before the roundabout at the mall at Marathon, that roundabout. So I bought a couple books. I read them, and it really made a lot of sense. And then what I did is I had met a guy. I know.
I was waiting for the rest of that story.
I think he had done some work for Classic Homes, right?
So, I remember Classic Homes.
Yeah, wow. Pauline. So I said, I've been given a house to build, right? I would like you to work on the house with me. He said, okay. So I sat there and I watched every single thing he did. And I said, why are you doing that? What is that for? Why did you do it like that? And basically that first house was my main learning thing. Because he was probably so sick and tired. Yes. But it worked.
Yeah.
The only way I was going to do it is if I could ask the questions.
And this course, you will be able to ask questions at the point in time during the course. But I think it's going to be an amazing experience of learning and getting better at what you do already. I talked to two of my friends who's on the job site. We've been pouring some concrete. They said, Science, you know, I registered for the course. I said, I know. I saw your name on the list. So everyone who takes their seriously, they're registered for the course. They're excited about it. We're excited to be partnering in this way to deliver contractor education for all the contractors in the country.
And you will be certified, which the Bahamian Contractors Association are going to have certified contractors we can recommend to other people.
And that's the main thing.
We're going to do with that. If we can't get the board chosen, this is what we are going to do. This is our intention.
Yeah.
And we're going to educate everyone to make sure that you are certified.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's our show, and we want to thank all of our callers for making the show what it was. Very exciting, very informative. And Debbie, thank you again for bringing your wealth of experience to the show. I can't wait to see you on Monday inside this course.
I know.
As you further your education and experience.
I am excited. You know what? It's just, I want to see what everybody else is going
to talk about. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's us for our show. Thank you for listening to Nail It.
Good night, everybody, and be safe. We don't regret anything. And now it's the two of us again. Against the wind, against the wind. When it rains and the flood came, and the wind blew hard like a hammer on the front. We didn't crack or break or fall.
And now a word from your local Sherwin-Williams Paints family.
We were taught that we must communicate with the customers so that we can give them the right product that they need, not just because you are make a sale. We make it a point to ask questions so that we can make your project that day effective. Do it right the first time.
That's the truth.
But that's how we is.
That's how we is.
Not a joke.
No joke at all. Sherwin-Williams Bahamas. Find color in every day.
Hey, y'all ever the new fiber steel on the market?
Yeah.
But don't rust.
Gone are the days of cracking spoils. Now that's a better, easy to install. Fiber steel is here to stay. No more repairing that break up wall. FIB's the new steel in town. No salty air would ever break down. Rust or corrosion, that's in the past. In the Bahamas, now we're built to last. Say goodbye to rust forever, man. Goodbye to corrosion by the ocean, man. Say goodbye to rust forever. No rust, no corrosion. Fiber steel in our future, brother, man. FIB's in our future.
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Say goodbye to Russ forever.
The light goes out, the AC stops, the fridge is silent, and your family is left in the dark again. You don't have to live like this. With a Cat generator from Machinery and Energy Limited, your home stays powered no matter the storm. Protect your peace. Protect your home. Always on, always ready. Visit me-ltd.com or call today, Machinery and Energy Limited, 1 College Avenue, Oaksfield at 323-5701. Be ready before the next storm hits.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have that capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with a complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
The all-new CBSBahamas.com is faster, smarter, and we've made it even easier to browse our inventory of over 11,000 products. Earn reward points with every online purchase. Check out our new AI-powered chat assistant. Available? You can even select a date and time for items to be delivered to your house, site, or the mailboat. Our Family Island customers are loving it. Build beautiful throughout the Bahamas with the new CBSBahamas.com.